listening to Encouraging Words to Give You Hope. The purpose of this podcast is to encourage you with the words of hope God gives us in His Word. I'm your host, Hope Ann, the author and founder of Meditate Hope. Join me each week as we discuss several different topics, dive into God's Word together, and encourage ourselves in the Lord. So sit back, grab your Bible, and take some notes as we meditate on the encouragement God gives us in His Word. Are you ready? Let's get into today's episode. Welcome back to another episode. It's Hope here, your host, and today we are continuing our Psalm series talking about having a heart of repentance based in Psalm 51 and 139. Here's a question for us to think about to start off this week's episode. When you do something wrong, do you feel guilty about it? When you sin, does it burden your heart as it burdens the heart of God? As we go through this week's devotional in Psalm 51 and 139, we will see how these psalms show us the importance of having a heart of repentance. Though we think of repentance to God or confession to God as something we only do when we do something wrong, it should also be a daily heart posture and practice for us as believers. We will go through also, at the end, some practical reflection questions with action steps as we learn how a heart of repentance can bring healing, restoration, and strengthen our relationship with God in the long run. The first psalm we'll be looking at is Psalm 51, which was written when the prophet Nathan came to David after he had just committed adultery with Bathsheba. To get the full context of the sin David has just committed, I encourage you to read 2 Samuel 11 and 12, but to make a long story short, here's a little quick summary of what happened in those two chapters. So it was springtime in Jerusalem, which was the time of year when kings would go to war. But David, the king of Israel at the time, decided to remain in Jerusalem and send Joab, his army commander, to lead the troops. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The Bible tells us that the woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. A man returned to report to him and said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." David sent messengers to bring her to him, and he slept with her. Bathsheba ends up becoming pregnant, and after some lies, David said, and things he commanded to be done to cover up his sin, David ends up putting Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, who was a soldier in his army, in front of the line where the fighting was fiercest so that he would be struck down and die. 2 Samuel 11 verse 27 tells us, "But the thing David had done displeased the Lord." In the next chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 12, we see that the Lord sent the prophet Nathan to David. This is their conversation, starting off with Nathan talking in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. He says, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him." David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own." After this passage, we see that David starts to realize that he has sinned against the Lord. Also, the child that he and Bathsheba had died. And now that leads us to Psalm 51, a Psalm of David, which is his prayer to God asking for restoration and forgiveness. So let's go through this chapter verse by verse. In verses 1 through 2, we see David's plea for forgiveness. He asked the Lord to come to him with his mercy, compassion, and love, and for the Lord to cleanse him from his sin. He writes, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Next, in verses 3 through 6, we see David truly humble himself and realize that he has sinned and realizes also who he has sinned against. David also talks about the sinful nature that he was born with. But as Enduring Word Commentary tells us, though the sin nature was deep within David, God wanted to work deeply in him. David says in these verses, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, and you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place." In the rest of this psalm, David continues in his prayer of restoration. These verses can be divided into the different areas David prays for restoration. We'll be going through 5 areas of restoration David prays for in these remaining verses. These 5 areas of restoration are based from Enduring Word Commentary. In verses 7 through 9, David prays for restoration through Christ's sacrifice. He asked the Lord to cleanse him with hyssop, a cleansing plant herb oil, and wash him clean so that the dead and broken bones within him might rejoice. He writes in these verses, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity." In verses 10 through 11, David prays for restoration of heart. May these words be a prayer of ours daily. He writes, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." Next, in verses 12 through 13, we see David pray for a restoration of the joy of his salvation. He writes, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you." The part when David prays, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways," shows that confession brings forth God's healing and forgiveness that can lead us to bring more people to Christ. In verses 14 through 17, David prays for restoration of praise, saying, "Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, and a broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise." Here we see David pray for deliverance from the sin he has committed, the sin of murdering Uriah, committing adultery, and causing bloodshed. He prays for the Lord to restore his praise even in his guilt and shame. He also says that though he could sacrifice an animal to God, what God really wanted was his heart. Though he was broken, God still welcomed him with open arms, ready to take his broken pieces and put him back together. Once again, as I was preparing for this week's devotional and podcast episode, I'm reminded of a worship song that relates to this passage. What David says here about God wanting our heart in full surrender reminds me of the song, "Have My Heart" by Maverick City Music. Here are some of the key lyrics. "You deserve my full attention, nothing less of my devotion. Speak to me and I will listen. I'll give you everything. You can have my heart." So this song reminds us that all God wants is a heart that is fully surrendered and open, willing to confess where we have fallen short, and ready to listen to what God has to say, whether that's conviction, rebuke, or a big lesson we need to learn. Finally, we come to verses 18 through 19, where David prays for restoration of the good to the kingdom, that being Israel. He prays to the Lord, May it please you to prosper Zion, to build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of righteousness and burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Here's what Enduring Word Commentary says about these verses. David realized that in his sin, he did not only fail as a man, a husband, and a father. He also failed as a king over God's people. He humbly asked God to restore his favor to the kingdom. Under the old covenant, David knew that God was not yet done with animal sacrifices. They would still offer burnt offerings. With the heart issues addressed, those sacrifices could be full of meaning and benefit. So through David's story of the sin he committed, his desire to become right with God again, and his prayer for restoration, here are three main things that stuck out to me through this and for us to take note of. Number one, sin will find you out. Though sin may feel good and quote-unquote comfortable in the moment, it will be sure to find us out later. We will reap the consequences of our sins just as David did. Number two, sin affects other people. As Enduring Word Commentary told us, when David sinned, he failed as a man, husband, father, and as king over God's people. To get away with his sin of adultery, he committed murder by having Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, killed in battle by putting him on the front lines. More than we can see, our sin can affect those around us. Our sin can cause a change in our character, which can lead us to not be a Christ-like example to others. And number three, David's prayer of repentance was needed in order for him to move forward. These five areas of restoration David prayed for was needed for him to move forward in his walk with the Lord. He needed to come before the Lord, realize his sin for what it was, confess it, and make things right between him and the Lord. He had to remember the God he served and who he had sinned against. Next, we move on to the second psalm we will be looking at, Psalm 139, which is another psalm of David. Our primary focus will be on the last two verses, but may we meditate on this prayer of David, magnifying and glorifying the Lord for who he is and what he has done. In verses 1 through 6, David declares that an all-knowing God knows him and how the knowledge of the Lord is too great to grasp. He writes, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in, behind, and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." Next, in verses 7 through 12, we see David declare that God is with him always, and there's no place to hide from the Lord, for he is there, whether up in the heavens or in the depths or on the far side of the sea. He says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." And in verses 11 through 12, David even says that even if he is in a dark place or a dark season, the Lord would be present, for the Lord is the light of life. John 8:12. David says in verses 11 through 12, "If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." In verses 13 through 16, David talks about how God formed him in his mother's womb. He says, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Next, in verses 17 through 18, David praises the Lord, writing, "How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." Here we see David stand in awe of how much the Lord cared for him and thought of him. And to illustrate how often God thinks of us, he talks about the grains of sand on the seashore and how much more the Lord thinks of us. In verses 19 through 22, we see David's longing for justice, wanting the Lord to punish the wicked, and we also see that he hates what God hates, that being in this verse, the wicked and evildoers against the Lord. He counts these people as enemies just as God would count them as enemies. He says, "If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies." And finally, in verses 23 through 24, we see David's beautiful, humble prayer to God, where we see him utterly open to whatever the Lord has to say because he wants to walk in the ways of the Lord. He prays in these verses this: "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." So through this Psalm of David, we see how when we remember who God is, it can lead us to repentance and to us humbling our hearts before him. When we recognize that the Lord is a gracious and loving God, his character never changes, and all he has done for us, it can lead us to repentance, knowing that he is there with open arms. He is a God who is loving and wants to have a genuine relationship with you. As David wrote, God is always with us and there's no way to escape his presence. God thinks and cares about us more than we can fathom. No matter what sin we have committed, God is faithful and willing to welcome us home and forgive us. May we humble ourselves as David did in this psalm, praising God not only for what he has done or can do for us, but for who he is. Once we remember the character of God, we can come before the Lord with humble hearts, as we see David did in Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24, wanting to turn away from his sin and walk in the ways of the Lord. As we close out this week's Pux episode, we'll be diving into our reflection questions and application. Since this week's Pux episode was all about confession and repentance, you'll find that as we go through these questions, we will be doing some deeper heart work than we usually do. So as you answer the following three questions, you'll also find that there's an action step behind each one. So let's get into these questions, let go of control, and let God search and cleanse our hearts. Number one, is there a sin you have been struggling with? Yep, we are going there right off the bat. The first step in repentance is recognizing our sin for what it is and knowing that we have done wrong. Take a few moments today to reflect on a sin or temptation that you may be currently struggling with. Maybe you know that you haven't been prioritizing Jesus lately, or you need to be a better listener to those around you rather than reacting so fast. Whatever it may be, recognize and accept the depth of your sin and let it burden your heart. Why? Because once again, our hearts should be burdened by the things that burden the heart of God. As we saw in Psalm 51, David admitted his sin for what it was, had to confess it, and realized who he had sinned against, an all-knowing, all-powerful God who he had been unfaithful to. The truth is, we all have sinned. We are all sinners. Romans 3 verse 23 tells us, "For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard." But through Christ, there is freedom and healing for you today. If we read on, we see Romans 3 verse 24 through 26 tells us, "Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus." Number two, have you confessed that sin? Once we have defined the sin, we must confess it and seek God's forgiveness. In fact, repentance means to turn away from our sin and move forward in a different direction, that direction being towards the ways of God. 1 John 1 verse 9 tells us, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Confessing our sins can be the hardest step in repentance because our pride can get in the way. But the truth is, none of us are perfect and will never be. 1 John 1 verse 8 and 10 tells us, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we claim we have not sin, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us." May we come before God, remember who he is, confess our sin, ask for his forgiveness, which he is faithful to give to those who ask, and choose to walk in his ways. The good news that we see from David's prayer and praise in Psalm 139 is that confession brings us back to the heart of God. It makes us remember who he is, what he has done, and the amazing God we serve. And because it brings us back to the heart of God, it also brings us back to who we are in him. And number 3, have you let God search your heart? After recognizing our sin and confessing it for what it is, it's time to let God work in our hearts and do some heart work with him. As we saw David write in Psalm 139, verse 23 through 24, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting." Letting God search our hearts and letting him take control is sometimes easier said than done. Why? Because we can be afraid of letting God in. We think to ourselves, what is God going to think? How is he going to judge me? Is he going to give some tough consequences? Despite the questions and worries that may flood our minds in giving quote-unquote permission to let God search our hearts for anything that is not pleasing in his sight, may we let go and let God in. Conviction and confession are both things we would all like to avoid, but it's the only way we can truly grow and the only way God can continue to further refine us into his image. As Solomon wrote in Proverbs 3 verse 11 through 12 to his son, he says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in." What can this look like practically? This can look like maybe turning on some worship music in your room, getting on your knees and getting honest with God, talking to him about the sin you have been struggling with. Or maybe this can look like journaling a prayer of repentance before the Lord and asking him for strength to move forward, not falling into the same sin again, but instead walking in the ways of God. So in the end, there will always be times when we fall short, but that doesn't mean that we are without hope. God's forgiveness is available to anyone who will ask for it. It's never easy to humble ourselves, confess that we have done something wrong that is not pleasing in God's sight, and admit that we are wrong, but it's worth it. Repentance refines us. It brings healing. It brings restoration. It leads our heart back to the heart of our Heavenly Father, therefore bringing us back to who we are in him. It can lead others to Christ as they see how the Lord has redeemed and rescued us. Repentance can strengthen and deepen our relationship with Christ. May we always desire to have a heart of repentance and do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. May we have a heart of repentance not only when we have done something wrong, but may it be a daily heart posture of ours to let God create in us a clean heart, renew a steadfast spirit within us, and restore to us the joy of our salvation, never losing sight of God's gift of forgiveness and grace. And that's the end of this week's podcast episode, continuing our series in the Psalms. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you are listening so that you don't miss out on any future episodes. And also don't forget to leave a rating if you're listening on Spotify, or a rating and review if you are listening on the Apple Podcasts app. This helps reach more people with the good news and help more people find the podcast. Thanks for listening and have a blessed week.